Hi, I'm Sally Kirkman from sallykirkman.com, and I'm here today with my dear friend and fellow astrologer, Christina Rodenbeck from oxfordastrologer.com. And together we are Astrology Talk, with a podcast that tells you about the astrology of the month ahead, what's coming up, what's been going on, what's up, what's down, what's around. And it's been quite an extraordinary time, hasn't it, Christina? Because we just survived eclipse season. How's it been for you?
Well, I have to say that the inter-eclipse period, and especially the leading up to the second eclipse, was very, very buzzy, disconcerting energy. I felt very weird. And then the eclipse happened, and everything, and I felt aligned and cleared and much better. So it was a really interesting kind of sense of clarity, because this eclipse season has also been in the middle of Mercury retrograde and leading up to this big thing happening next month. So it's a very powerful, it's a particularly powerful eclipse, I think, this latest one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the, you know, it's the solar eclipse on April the 8th that, I mean, a lot of friends and clients in America, Mexico witnessed it. And I was the same, completely out of sorts leading up to it. I ended up deciding to do a fast on the day of the eclipse and did sit and meditate during the eclipse, which I don't always do. But I had friends who were messaging saying, you know, I'm going to sit and meditate. So I sat there and sent out peace and healing around the world. And it actually felt a really lovely thing to do. And I agree, there was this sense of, on a personal level, I felt a real reset. I felt kind of more grounded and centered after it and energized, I think, as well. So it was kind of a real whoosh of energy. And also just to mention the lunar eclipse on March the 25th, which did fall across my ascendant-descendant axis. I think I mentioned it in last month's podcast. And what's it going to bring? Is it going to bring something new into my life? No, it didn't. I realized that I was at the dentist a couple of days before. And what was eclipsed? I had a tooth out. And I was absolutely wiped out by it. I was exhausted. So it was about, you know, it was more about the ascendant and the physical body. I thought it was quite funny symbolism.
Yeah, just to be completely, you were wiped out by that one. Yeah. I have to say, I'm kind of, because it was an eclipse that was like a giant zigzag across the, or a zag across the United States. And it kind of matches that one that was in 2017, which was a zag the other way, or a zig, or an X. Anyway, it's an X. I'm kind of hoping that it may also be some kind of reset for the United States. You know, people may start liking each other a bit more.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? The 7-year.
Yeah.
7 years.
We may look back at that as this inter-eclipse period between those two massive American eclipses for the United States anyway. We'll see.
Yeah. And that's quite important because of what's coming up too, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What we're going to be talking about a bit. Moving into Taurus season, aren't we? We're moving into Taurus season, which begins on April 19th and runs through to May 20th. So there's this shift from dynamic fire to steadying earth, although it's not the most steadying and stable and grounded of Taurus seasons, is it? Because of the...
It's not.
No.
It's just not. So let's just put that aside. Should be going into steadying earth. Actually, it's like earthquake, more like disrupted earth, but possibly in a positive way. So that's not like, oh my God, it's terrible. It's, oh wow, dynamic. When Taurus gets dynamic, it's, you know, it's a big deal. This is fixed earth suddenly being disrupted, moved ahead. So the disruption of the eclipse followed by what's the really powerful conjunction that's coming up between two giants of the solar system, Uranus, the planet of rebellion, and Jupiter, the planet of expansion, at the start of Taurus season. It's gonna, this is really huge. It's huge change is coming. But maybe we should talk about Taurus a bit first before we zip into that, even though it's so alluring.
Yeah, it's I like Taurians a lot. I mean, they're, you know, I find them, I think they're incredibly droll and funny. They've got a really lovely kind of sense of humor very often, you know, and they're very kind of earthy. So they're often swear quite a lot. I mean, Adele's the classic one. She, I mean, and again, the beautiful voice, it rules the neck and the throat, doesn't it? And she's got this incredible voice. But she calls herself, I know she's called herself in the past, a potty mouth, because she she can't not, you know, the swear words tumble out. And I think they're earthy. There's a rawness, a sort of groundedness about them. They're really, it's a juicy star sign in many respects. Yeah, I like them.
Venus rules, of course, ruled by the planet, actually Beauty and Harmony. And I do think that's really important to think about with Taurus. It's... often you find them in working in fashion, for example, or in beauty, artists. It's got a whole, I mean, because it also, but Venus is also the planets associated with money. So you often find them dealing with, you know, working in a bank. Taurus careers are quite much more varied than people think. There's a whole art way that it can go, or a whole money way that it can go, or a whole kind of practical building way. You know, I know a Taurian who builds bridges, and I think that's quite a classic Taurus thing to do, to make things real, make things manifest. And yes, and I think that often they can be very good looking Taurus, of course.
Yeah, they can.
I'm thinking of George Clooney, classic. Classic.
I was going to say, do we say the Clooney word?
Clooney.
Yeah.
Yes, but he is the classic, very handsome Taurus man with a sort of very masculine, bushy eyebrows, but a lot of very beautiful Taurus women because Venus, right? And they, you know, they like this. It's the sign that rules it's connected to the five senses, you know. And they like the sensual things in life to be nice. And I think you're right about a little bit of rolling in the gutter can be quite a Taurus thing, you know, and that enjoyment of, you know, drinking a lot of sex or, you know, all the things,
yeah.
Right?
They're indulgent. There's an indulgent side to Taurus. And also often when you were talking about the careers, I mean, the other classic one is farmers or gardeners. You know, they get their hands in the earth, literally in the earth. And it is, I think the hands are so, the sense of touch. So they're often, you know, they can be masseurs. I know a Taurus is a brilliant masseur. Or they do body work or sculpting. Or cooking as well. They make great cooks. It's this earth mother archetype to Taurus. So earthy, I mean, when you just, whatever the word earthy means, that's to me, you know, that one word could describe Taurus, really. Lovely star sign.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they, I mean, it's really, Taurians in general have been having the most torrid 12 months. Extreme, you know, because they've had Jupiter in their sign.
Yes.
Since last May. And so there have been extremes. And they came out of all these eclipses. So they'd had eclipses in the previous year in Taurus Scorpio. And then they bounced into this sort of Jupiter thing. And, you know, when Taurus goes all expansive, it is, again, it's this fixed earth thing kind of growing. It's kind of, you know, it's like cracking the sides. Like I have this image of like the Incredible Hulk, you know, suddenly bursting out of its clothes. Yes. So it's been, I mean, the Taurians that I've been working with and that I live with have had ups and downs, you know, this year, big ups, big downs, but big expansion of possibility.
Yes. I mean, they it's interesting, isn't it? Because Taurus fixed Earth, often quite stubborn. The sign, I think, that is very often resistant to change. They can be quite, you know, they enjoy that slow life and the routine and the predictability of life. And they've had Uranus in their star sign since 2018, 2019, then that massive eclipse season 2021 to 2023, and now Jupiter in Taurus. I mean, if there's any Taurus out there whose life hasn't changed significantly over the last few years, do let us know.
Phone in, please, because actually it's been incredible. And I mean, you still got Uranus is going to be there for a while longer, several years longer. So that Uranian revolution is still ongoing. But when it was joined by Jupiter, it just became huge.
Yeah. And we've now, I mean, now this month, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction finally peaks on April 21st. So we just sort of dip our toes into Taurus season, don't we? And here is that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And it's going to be active all month for different reasons. We'll be looking at why. Yes, you've been feeling it already, but I'm really interested to see what happens kind of when it perfects and whether that does, you know, whether that does sort of bring things to fruition or there are these breakthrough moments or whether people feel ready to take a leap of faith wherever it falls. I mean, on a personal level, if it falls kind of key in your chart, it's quite exciting, isn't it? There's something going to happen. But again, with Uranus, the thing with Uranus is it brings the unexpected. So Jupiter, yeah, opportunity, expansion. But with Uranus, there's the unexpected. And when it's a conjunction, you never quite know how it's going to play out. Is it going to be brilliant? Is it going to be unsettling? You know, it's kind of, okay, what's going to happen? But I do feel excited. I feel excited for this conjunction.
I think it is an exciting conjunction. I mean, well, let's dive straight in. It's, you know, it happens every 14 years. So that's not unusual, but it doesn't happen in Taurus every 14 years. It happens in a different sun sign. So last time it was on the cusp of Aries and Pisces. And the time before that, it was in Aquarius. And it's like a new moon moment in a way. It's like the beginning of something. So one thing that I would say is it's good to begin something with, you know, if you want to begin something really big and revolutionary, if you do it, it doesn't have to be on the 21st of April, but, you know, within the following 4 weeks or so, you've really got a lot of momentum behind it, you know? So it's like, and it may feel like a kind of, it's an explosion of energy. And in this case, we have seen a lot of earthquakes, actually, leading up to this, speaking of Taurus being the fixed Earth sign. So the Earth is moving, you know. And I did write a little piece about what happened in the previous Uranus-Jupiter in Taurus. It's on my website. And that was in 1941, in the middle of the Second World War. And what was happening at that point was actually the Blitz in this country. So Britain was being really badly bombed. There's pictures of Liverpool during the week of that conjunction, which was in May in 1941. And it's rubble, which, you know, may make us think of both of places like Gaza and Ukraine at the moment, these places that have been reduced to rubble. And again, that's the earth crumbling. But what also happened in 1941, in that week or in the weeks following, so in a very sort of tight space of time, is that two important group activities were started, which would eventually turn the war around, because at that moment in 1941, the United States was not in the war and Russia was not in the war. So Britain was alone. We were going to lose, right? The Axis powers were winning. The tide of the war was going against the Allies. In fact, there wasn't really an Allies at that point. So what happened was the man at that point, 1941, the seed money for the Manhattan Project was put in place. It wasn't called the Manhattan Project yet, which of course ended up with the atom bomb. And also the Bletchley, the idea for Bletchley Park was started, which is where they broke the Enigma code. But also, and really importantly, and I think this is really useful to think about as an idea around Uranus-Jupiter, what it might mean, both Germany and Japan were about to make, they were making plans that would mean that they overreached. And Uranus-Jupiter is about overreaching. So Japan was making its plans to bomb Pearl Harbor, which would bring the United States into the war. In December, that December, and that was a huge tactical mistake. And Germany was about to launch Operation Barbarossa, which was the invasion of the Soviet Union, which was a disastrous tactical mistake. And that happened just a few weeks later. It happened in that June that they started that, and that was the. It didn't seem like it was the tide turning. It seemed like it was still going in the direction for the Axis powers, but actually, those were two massive mistakes.
That's interesting, really interesting, Christina, because you know there is this. I mean, Jupiter. We know this. We always talk about Jupiter as a positive influence, don't we? But it is kind of there's a sense of hubris or arrogance or overdoing things, isn't there, with Jupiter as well? And Uranus coming along and speeds all that up. Thinking about that, it'll be interesting to see again what shapes up in the world on this Jupiter Uranus. You know, who's going to take things too far or overexpand? And that, what you're basically saying is then that starts the tide turning or the downfall in some way. Really interesting.
Well, the other thing that's similar, I mean, that I think is really interesting as a Taurus, you know, this is an earth sign, so it's about land. It was a massive land grab that Hitler launched in Operation Barbarossa. And it was in Ukraine, the same area right now, which is, you know, the theater of war again. So he launched this thing into Ukraine, grabbing a huge amount of land. And that is also Jupiter in Taurus, isn't it? He was a Taurus. So yes, the overreach is a really big part of this, but also the planning of something as part of a group. So those are two examples from the last time around.
Yeah, interesting. And also just to, I mean, you know, as we mentioned, 2010, 1997... key dates and back 1983, 1969. I mean, those, the two earlier dates were very much big advancements in space developments as well. And I mean, that's part of this Jupiter Uranus, isn't it? There's Uranus's technology, and they're both, for me, planets that are connected to the sky. So, you know, again, that looking at this one, I mean, this isn't particular. They didn't fall in Taurus, but there was this expansion. And the other thing that I'm very excited about is that, you know, in over here, 1997, Labour won the general election and got in. And then 2010, there was this shift in power. Conservatives got in. We've got another Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, and they often bring these peaks of social change, don't they? So, and the Conservatives aren't doing well at the moment in this country. And I think a lot of people are ready for them to go out and for a new political party to come in.
They're out. they're out. It's finished. They should just walk away now. And because I completely agree with you. It's political. And this is actually also, it's a science conjunction. It's a revolution conjunction, but it's a political conjunction. You know, because both of those planets are about big. They're big planets that should do with a collective. You know, this is collective change. We're talking about big collective change. It may be around justice or whatever, but 1997 it was Labour came in after 17 years of the Tories, wasn't it? Was it that long? So it was a massive change. And I can remember that dawn when they had won. And it was just this incredible shift in atmosphere. And then 2010, the Conservatives came back after 14 years of Labour. And there was an incredible shift again, back to something more conservative. So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, what about 1983? Thatcher had already been in a few years. But of course, that was when she started to really show her teeth, because she'd been quite a weak prime minister before the Falklands War. And then she had this war in the South Atlantic and suddenly became really popular and started initiating these radical policies that we're still dealing with now, many, many years later. So I'm sure that there's going to be a change in this country. And I note that actually Britain has a very nice sextile between Jupiter and Uranus in its natal chart.
Okay. And that's important, isn't it? And that's important on a personal level too. You know, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, if you've got those two planets working together in your chart, in aspect, this conjunction is likely to be more significant. It always is. There are always ones to note. And it is also, on a personal level, it's an entrepreneurial signature as well. It's great for having a vision, taking a leap of faith. So, that's another significant part of it. But let's just have a quick chat about Rishi Sunak. Because, you know, we've just looked at his chart, actually. We don't have a time of birth for him. He's born on the 12th of May, 1980. He's a Sun Taurus. He's born on a Sun-Mercury conjunction. His Sun in Taurus is at 21 degrees Taurus, Jupiter-Uranus slap bang on it. Not just that, it's opposite his Uranus. He has a Uranus opposition to his Sun-Mercury at 23 Scorpio. So it's his Uranus half-return, this classic, what we think of it, an astrological midlife crisis. You know, things go topsy-turvy. So he's got the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on his Sun in Taurus, opposite that Uranus. Is he out?
And I have to say, if I had been his astrologer, sorry, Rishi, why were you not on the phone to me? I would have just taken a gamble and said, well, just have the election in May, because, you know, whatever. Do you know what I mean? He's probably going to be out of politics completely, I think. It wouldn't surprise me if he just does something completely different. I find he was born in 1980, by the way. So if you were born in 1980, you too will be having your Uranus half return. And often it's fantastically liberating, this moment. So for him, it may be that although it's like, oh, it's terrible, he's going to be out of it's going to be a liberation somehow from he may be feeling incredibly trapped in this situation. Because what has he done? He's overreached himself. He went too far. He should never have gone for being prime minister, because he's not, you know, that he's not prime minister material. People keep on saying that aside from all the other stuff, he's terrible at politics, but it's right on his son. And that's another example. And he's a fantastic example of Taurians having this incredibly torrid, time over the past few years. You know, and over the past year, it's just been I'm sure it's been very extreme for him and extremely stressful.
Yeah, it's roller coaster stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, he's right in the heart of this. I mean, big changes. And I agree, he should have gone. I mean, he should have gone for the general election now, really, while he's got that Jupiter-Uranus energy. But, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's going to trigger the Uranus opposition.
He's going to go.
Do we want to mention one more person while we're on? While we're just on this, who else it's important for? Mr. Trump. Because his midheaven, we do have a time of birth for him. He's a Gemini, born on 14th of June 1946. His midheaven, his career point, is 24 Taurus. So basically, he's got the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on his midheaven at the moment. And he's stirring things up, isn't he, again? He's out there again. He's big news.
I sigh. I can hardly say his name. I think of him as the orange one. The orange one, and you know, he has got incredible astrology this year. And you know, he has in his natal chart, he has got a wonderful trine aspect, a beautiful, beautiful, perfect aspect between Uranus and Jupiter. And this has been incredibly lucky for him. And it's been pinged at various points. You know, when it gets pinged, he, you know, cool stuff happens for him. And that, he is kind of Teflon. Things just bounce off. So these conjunctions are important for his career. And you could look back at 97 and 2010 and 1983 and trace a sort of arc. But the truth is that he's done so much has happened in his career that it's quite hard to trace which things happened. You know, what happened when you could start anything at a certain, you know, you could say this began then or then. But this one's a really, really big conjunction in his chart. So I would be watching very closely to see what happens. And we've just had the example of Rishi Sunak. So although generally I think we would agree, wouldn't we, that this is a good conjunction. It's positive. It brings in opportunity. It allows things to expand. It's very quickly expansive. It can also be this overreaching one, and it can go too far. And Rishi Sunak has reached too far for himself. He's reached too high.
And it is that theme, you know, we're playing with Uranus. You know, Uranus, more than any other planet, brings in the unexpected. It's the external events that you often don't see coming. So it's something that happens almost to you or outside of yourself that triggers this change. I mean, just one final word on Trump. I mean, it's, you know, he was born on a Sun-Uranus conjunction. So Jupiter trine the Sun. So his luck is all about, you know, it comes from being really controversial, doesn't it? Really controversial as well. And with this Jupiter-Uranus, I mean, you know, Uranus does bring this controversial edge. It's the rebel, the radical.
What it does is it sets the Uranian energy sets things against each other, doesn't it? And it's interesting. He's got a Sun-Uranus conjunction on an eclipse. That's when he was born. And he is all about that. And here we have this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happening just after an eclipse. By the way, that one in 1941 also happened just after an eclipse in Aries. So it was, again, really similar energy. So we'll see what happens with him. He's incredibly lucky, but maybe this is a turn. We'll see.
Yeah. As we said, these things can go either way, can't they? They can go either way. So we'll see what happens.
The main thing that we're seeing for him in the coming year is great notoriety or fame.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Being extremely well known. And, you know, his astrology around the election is extraordinary.
I mean, just to say one other thing about it, I mean, Jupiter is the law as well, isn't it? You know, it's the law. So maybe there's going to something happen with this Jupiter-Uranus that, you know, something steps in because he's in trouble with the law all over the place. Oh, should we move on from him, please?
Yeah, goodbye. I'm throwing that chart out. Boom.
Why don't we leap into the full moon chart and kind of talk about what else is going on around? I mean, there's these turning points. Move into Taurus season. Everything is happening so quickly. We've got the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction exact on the 21st. There's a full moon on, it's actually 23rd, 24th. It's the really early hour of 24th of April here in the UK, British summertime. But it'll be 23rd, 24th. And then Mercury turns direct in Aries on the 21st. So there's this run of things either culminating or coming to fruition, or this kind of little run of green lights. It's really quite fast energy, isn't it? Again, so different from what we normally get when we move into steady, stable Taurus season. We're sort of charging in.
Yeah, it's fireworks.
Yeah, fast pace, really fast pace.
charging in, release, 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 let go, let go, let go. I mean, it's like you're running fast and dropping things. And that starts like from the eclipse on the, hopefully the eclipse on the, in April has kind of helped you to center a little bit so that you can really go forward in this last week of April. I mean, I think it's extraordinary. And, you know, this full moon is, you know, at the day of the full moon, which is the 23rd, 24th, Uranus and Jupiter are still in conjunction, really. You know, it's not like, oh, it happened on the 21st, then it stops. You know, one's at 21, the other one's at 22. So that's just an ongoing feeling, that kind of electrical, exciting, expansive energy. And once Mercury goes direct, that pulls in, you know, all the kind of, if you're ruled by Mercury, so Gemini and Virgo, you're now ready to go, right? You may have been sort of doing a little bit of investigation, thinking about things, making plans, researching during April. Now you're ready to go and take flight. My big image with all of this is people taking flight. And as you say, there is something about the Uranus Jupiter energy, which is to do with big horizons and even space travel. So if I were launching a rocket, you know, I would do it sometime after the 25th of April, and I would be feel really confident that something big is going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I like it, especially for Leo, because it's in your, you know, it's in the career future sector of your chart. So this is a really important time to take a big leap. I mean, you know, Jupiter also, it rules freedom. So if you've been stuck in a situation where you've been dominated or controlled, you know, it's about breaking free. And I think also what's important during this full moon is that we get the square to Pluto as well. You know, Pluto in Aquarius, in Leo's relationship, partnership sector. So if there's been someone in your life dominating, controlling, you know, during this full moon, the Jupiter Uranus, the Mercury turning direct, it's like, it's time to get out of this. It's time to break free. It's time to do your own thing. Maybe set up, you know, your own business or leave a situation behind. It's quite powerful astrology for that. And also Scorpio. I mean, this is a super important full moon for Scorpio. The moon's in your star sign. It's square your co-ruler, Pluto. So really, what are you releasing and letting go of? And that might be connected to yourself, your identity, something very personal. Or it could be connected again to a relationship, a partnership, as Taurus is your opposite star sign. But it's kind of about, you know, Pluto really helps you, I think, to dig deep and, you know, say, right, we're excavating, we're getting out of this. We're going to dig our way out. It's like digging your way out with Pluto.
Yeah, it's a really, I mean, if we didn't have that Uranus-Jupiter conjunction, we would still be talking about this full moon as a very big full moon because of the way that it's bouncing, it's activating Pluto in Aquarius, which, as we have discussed on this podcast many a time, is a really big deal, that move of Pluto into Aquarius. And it's going to be telling you stuff about what that Pluto in Aquarius really means for you. So it's important for Aquarians, right? This full moon, it's going to be, you know, it's about home or career, right? Which, you know, and you may be having trouble balancing those two, actually. Should I stay? Should I go? And also for Aquarians, I think there is stuff in here about, because of the, you're also going to have that Uranus, that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in a very important angle of your chart if you're an Aquarian. It's at home, right? So you might be moving house or moving country even, or just leaving something behind, or going on a very long trip, or something along those lines. Something radical may be happening.
And really super important, you know, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, I mean, we've been talking a lot about Taurus, but Uranus is Aquarius co-ruler. So again, really significant that it's falling in your home sector. I think also for Sagittarius and Pisces, this is super important because Jupiter is your ruling planet. So Pisces, it's going to be in your third house of communication, and Sagittarius, it's in your sixth house of work and health. So it's like, what big changes are coming? Or, you know, what are you ready to launch with regard to these areas? Something new, innovative, alternative, I would suggest. So to think about it in that way.
And for this last week of April, Mars is still in Pisces as well. So Pisces is very, very, very fiery, you know, and actually that affects Sagittarius too, that Mars in Pisces, you know, there may be rows at home, in fact, or you may be leaving something again. And also that Mars in Pisces, just to point out, is important for Gemini. You know, this is still career stuff, still your status. You know, you may be doing a lot of stuff that's very public, or having a public argument if you're a Gemini.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of the orange one. So it's, I mean, this, it's very stirred up energy, wouldn't you say, that this last week and this very strong full moon in fixed signs. And I think that's why it's even more disturbing than it might be in another place in the charts, is because it's in quite fixed signs, and they don't like change.
Yeah, but everything is leading towards it, isn't it? I think you're going to find whether you find the sort of energy within to do it, or whether someone helps from outside, or some event takes place that is a catalyst to move you forward. I don't think it's not a time to stay stuck. Definitely. And the other thing I like about, you know, the end of April is just such a powerful time. We've got also Venus moves into Taurus on the 29th, its sign of rulership, and Mars moves into Aries on the 30th, its sign of rulership. So there's important shifts as well from the relationship planets. They're kind of, you know, they're taking up residence in signs where they work really well and they have extra strength. So again, maybe this look for support from other people in your life. Look for the, you know, the people who are kind of your rock, or the people who can help you move forwards as well. There's just this sort of run of really powerful, significant astrology. And it's not, I don't think it's about, for me, it's not about going it alone, actually. It's actually looking for support from other people, and also, you know, kind of from life as well.
I don't think it's about going it alone at all. And I this is something I really feel quite strongly about, the Jupiter Uranus thing, that's not said enough. People think about the kind of lone genius, the sort of Promethean thing, which is true. But actually, those examples that I looked back at were all about teamwork. And it's helpful to get it, to gather a team, to be part of a group, to be part of a committee, to be, you know, to, there's safe, not just, it's not about safety in numbers, there's revolution in numbers. You know, you cannot have your own revolution by yourself. You need to have a team that's doing it with you.
Yeah, interesting. And that, you know, that pick is picking up the theme of the Pluto in Aquarius, isn't it, as well, which switches direction on the 2nd of May. It turns retrograde in Aquarius, again in the star sign of the collective, the group. So there is something about, you know, the importance, the power of society actually at this time too. So I agree completely with what you're saying, that, you know.
And social revolution, isn't it? And also the other, I mean, it's amazing, this astrology, just in this, you know, from the 19th of April just to the beginning of May. This, it's incredible. Or 2nd of May, because that means that Pluto's actually stationing, it's standing still during that time, which doesn't mean it's weak, it means it's more intense. Not only is there a more intense Pluto, but it's being pinged by the full moon on the 24th. So that Pluto is really active as well as the Jupiter-Uranus.
Big astrology going on.
And there's a lot going on. So for most people, there will be stuff going on in different parts of your life that may not even be connected. It's not like one narrative going on. It's several powerful narratives going on.
Interesting. Should we look at the new moon as well?
Yeah.
To move forward to that, because that's kind of then, It's just, I mean, this it's this wave of energy is just continuing, isn't it? You know, and again, keep your eye on that Jupiter-Uranus because it's getting pinged. I mean, we'll give you some more dates on the pinginess.
I just want to say one thing about that Pluto stationing, and then because it stationing means the planet stands still, and it's a really important moment. You know, for Taurus, you've got this explosion of Uranus and Jupiter in your own sign, right? So you're like ready to go. And then something is happening to do with either a parent or your work, which is absolutely transforming things, right? So it could be that someone's leaving, like the boss is leaving, and it makes room for you to take their place, you know? There's something Plutonic happening in your career, and it may be a transformation of your career. So in the case of Rishi Sunak, for instance, maybe you're going to become, you know, a billionaire in Silicon Valley instead of a prime minister here.
I hope he's listening in today.
Oh, I'm sure he is. While he's doing his little, what is he, what was it? He's some kind of exercise thing that he does. Oh, it's, no, it's, today's his, is it going to, is he fasting? He has a fasting day on Mondays and Tuesdays anyway.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's quite impressive, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Monday, the moon day, is a good day to fast, by the way, just saying. Okay, well, let's have a look at the new moon, 8th of May, which falls at, the sun and moon are at 18 Taurus. So Uranus is at 22 Taurus. Jupiter's at 25 Taurus, that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the mix. And actually Venus at 10 Taurus. So there's this real a stellium of planets, four or five more planets in Taurus, really giving a lot of power and energy to wherever Taurus falls in your chart. So, you know, and for Cancer, which is ruled by the moon, always look at the full moons, new moons, because they're really significant for you. I mean, this is in, this is a big party. This is in your friendship sector. This is kind of like, who are the people who, you know, inspire you or ground you or keep it real? Get together with them, hang out with them, have a great time with them. Because it's, that's where the energy is zinging for you. So, you know, to look at where this energy is zinging, because it's such a lively new moon, this one.
It looks like a potentially incredibly lucky one, doesn't it? I mean, it's in a Venus-Jupiter sandwich, this new moon. It looks, you know, if you were going to, I don't know, do something that needs a little bit of luck, I would do it at this one, like Capricorn.
Yes.
I'm not saying go to the races, Capricorn, but I kind of am.
Yes, do. It's got Jupiter there, the horses.
Jupiter, and it's got Venus, and it's a new moon. It's like a fresh start. You know, take a bit of a gamble. Because you've got fantastic energy for that. And also, it's energy to do something that's different from what you normally do. Right? Oh, wait, Capricorn, you should go to the races and have a crazy affair as well.
Yep.
Crazy love affair.
Yeah,
it's more good, more good advice from your astrologers.
Yeah.
Do something really nutty. But don't ruin your life, Capricorn. But yeah, it's really expansive in terms of pleasure and fun for Capricorns, isn't it? This particular kind of, the whole month, in fact, but around this new moon period on the 8th of May, it looks fantastic.
And also really interesting new moon this for Taurus. You know, Venus is ruling that moon. So this is a time to, look fantastic. With it all going on, you know, go and get yourself a new outfit. Make sure people see who you are. Get out there. It could be really, you know, boost your popularity this new moon. It could be, you know, you could be the one to be seen. And also for Libra, you know, this is a really significant new moon for you. And it's about money for you, actually. You know, there could be a bonus or gift coming your way at its best. It falls in your one of your money sectors, it's the money star sign. Or perhaps it's a time when you're feeling very charitable, very, very giving, and you kind of, you know, you want to get involved in something special invest in something that's really important to you, really significant. But it's about, you know, it's the give and take of the finances in your chart.
Yeah, and the same ditto for Aries, actually, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
That's about money, it's about giving, it's about generosity, it's about splashing it around, and maybe about getting a huge check. But there's luck to do with money. And, you know, if you're not feeling the luck, Aries, it might be an idea to make it happen by being generous yourself. Do you know what I mean? You know, just to sort of push the wheel forward and make a big donation. I also have to say it's important for Leo, right? This new moon. It's you know, again, I know Leo, we very boringly keep on going on about your career, your status. You have to expand, new work, you know, get a new job. And this is true of a lot of Leos that I'm coming across. They're doing something that stretches the boundaries further, that is taking them a little bit further, starting a new career, you know, even at quite an advanced age, a complete shift in what they're doing. And it's great timing for that. And you should feel really confident. And if you're at a moment of launching something like that, take some risks now. And I think we said right at the beginning of this, talking about this month, that this Uranus-Jupiter is a pretty good time for starting something. And it's made even more so by this new moon. And, you know, in my opinion, generally, like, new moons aren't particularly time for actually really, really launching something, but maybe planting the seed. But then the moon and Venus in the following days after this new moon, you know, it moves through Taurus. It becomes an actual little sickle in the sky, and you're expanding from there. And the whole of the rest of the month, it's like, yeah, go on, keep on, you know, launch things, start things, set them off.
Yeah, I want to kind of really reiterate that. Just, I mean, a couple more dates. It's the Sun-Uranus conjunction on the 13th. Then on the 18th, there's a Venus-Uranus conjunction and a Sun-Jupiter conjunction in Taurus. So there's these dates when, again, you know, whatever seeds you sow, this is pings, things start growing and budding from this. But it is also, you know, we're talking about this. It is really a month to crack on with things wherever this Jupiter-Uranus falls. Because come next month, the Sun moves into Gemini on the 20th and we lose Jupiter from Taurus on the 25th. So this really is, you know, all this potential and possibility that's bubbling away. It's saying go for it now.
Yeah, and I think, what do you think about the, I mean, Taurus is such a sign, it's the earth sign, so it's like the planting of the seed. It really, really is something very, something that can last a long time might start growing now, you know, something that's really got, I want to say got legs, but I should say has roots, you could start it now, you know, so it's like, it's got the accelerant. It's got, what is that stuff that makes roots grow really fast? You know what I mean? The mushroom stuff. It's got that right now. You've got really good compost for putting something in, for planting something that's going to really, really take off and grow. And you might not know what the hell it is, right, at this point. And that's another aspect of Uranus is like, oh, you think you're doing one thing and it turns out you're doing another. It doesn't matter. Just do something.
It is like it's start the savings plan, decide what you're going to invest in, and, you know, and be in it for the long term, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I have a personal example of this Uranus-Jupiter conjunction, which was in 2010. I started my blog.
Right. Okay.
I did it. I mean, I chose to do it on the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction because it was at 0 degrees of Aries and then it went back on my Mercury, but I wasn't sort of hugely, I didn't time it. But then when I did the actual chart for my blog, the ascendant was on my Sun. And it just grew from there. And the other thing I would say about the Jupiter Uranus is that it's very astrological. Like, it's an astrologer's conjunction because Uranus is very much associated with astrology and thinking outside the box and being basically being a bit of a weirdo, which we all have to be in order to embrace this. And Jupiter is about knowledge.
So what's happening? I mean, I'm excited for you with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction again, Christine. Are you going viral in some way this this year? Something's going to take off. Surely it's a, you know, it's a new chapter of this, isn't there?
It's a new chapter. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? It didn't turn out how I expected it to. You know what I mean?
Well,
I had a completely different plan for it, but, you know, there it is. It turned out okay.
Yeah.
Let's put it like that. It's fine.
I was going to say, it's that offering it up to the gods, isn't it, with the Jupiter? I'm offering it up to you. Right. Tell me which direction it's going to play out. Where are we going?
Oh, it went left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't at all what I thought was going to happen. So, but that, you know, it turned out absolutely fine. You'd need to be flexible with Jupiter and Uranus. And but it's also about taking a risk.
Yeah. And just another astrological point I want to pick up on is that there is this sense, I mean, it's an important month because, you know, this Jupiter's ending in Taurus. And the other, I mean, look at Mercury, where the Mercury is in your chart as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's been in Aries for such a long time, hasn't it? Because it turned retrograde there. I mean, it moved into Aries on March the 10th. It too is moving on May 15th. It will leave Aries. But throughout this coming month, again, this is about, you know, Mercury and Aries can, it's motor mouth, it can speak up, it can make things happen. So it is, again, getting things sorted out, getting things finalized. Maybe Aries isn't a finalized word, is it really?
No, it's not.
It's
really not. It's the opposite.
All right. It's okay, then it's kind of getting excited about it still. Don't give up on something. Get excited about it. That's better. I'm happier with that. You know, and keep, if this Aries energy has been powerful for you, and of course this is coming out the back of eclipse season, that little Mercury, what I'm saying is the little Mercury still wants to speak up. He's still got something to say. He's still very busy, and he's busy until May the 15th. So that's the other place, you know, to say what you need to say, whether Aries and Mercury signs, Gemini, Virgo, talk about things, get things moving.
Yeah, initiate talks. That is what Mercury in Aries is. And you've already been doing all the research about that in April, right? And now you've got all the information and you're ready to share it. And I think, you know, as always with Gemini and Virgo, the Mercury ruled signs, it's, you know, you may have been having a bit of a, not exactly a rest because of the atmosphere in April, but, you know, from the 25th of April onwards into May, you're racing ahead again. And then after that, you know, after the 15th of May, Mercury moves into Taurus and starts to activate all this Taurus energy again.
Yeah, and that's another, I think this is really, it's interesting astrology because Mercury's playing catch up, so we'll be going through Taurus. Mars is the other planet that's playing catch up, isn't it, as well? Because it's also, you know, is strong in Aries throughout May, and then it too will move into Taurus next month in June. So it's really, you know, keep exploring things, keep communicating, keep moving forward. This is such a kind of powerful time astrologically to make things happen, to get things done. And I like it. I mean, you know, get excited by it. Find out the ways to make progress as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Mars is going to... So we've had this eclipse in Aries on the 8th of April, and then Mars is going to activate that point again, isn't it, sometime in May. And Mars is going to be in Aries in its own sign, very strong, through this whole period. Right. So wherever Aries falls in your chart. So for Aries in particular, you're going to have a lot of energy. For Libra, you're going to have stuff is going to be happening with your relationships. Right. There may be a lot of passion. And that's also another theme going on this month, that Mars in Aries is actually, again, if it weren't for the other stuff, we'd be talking about how incredibly powerful that is to have Mars in Aries. Because it loves being there. It's its own sign, but it does tend to go off half-cocked. Or, you know, it's about beginning things, Mars and Aries, not about finishing stuff off, and it can go without having all the information or paying full attention. And it's interesting that you've got the Mercury that's been doing all this research in Aries and trying to figure stuff out and going back and looking at things, and then goes forward on the 25th of April. And then the Mars comes in and says, right, let's take action on all the stuff that you found out. Let's do this thing, whatever it is. And it's maybe, I think for a lot of many people, it's going to be launching something, starting something.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, Cancer, this Aries is your career and future sector. So pay attention there. And I think Mars in Aries, you know, it gets you angry. It gets you passionate, you know, and you can use those emotions in a constructive and positive way. It's get fired up. What are you getting fired up about? You know, you're gonna push for what you want. It's, you know, there's a real independent feel to that. Keep going for, you know, what you've set your heart on. You've set your intentions on. Keep going. So there's a lot, real lot of strength, I think, and kind of a lot of support in the astrology to help us this month. That's my general feel for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's complex is my feel. And there are some things that are going to be, I mean, like that Mars in Aries can be very aggressive. And it depends, you know, who the Mars in Aries is in your life, whether if it's you, if it's an internal Mars in Aries, it's great. Cut through the bullshit. That's what Mars in Aries says. Cut through the bullshit. Let's get to the rub. But if it's someone coming at you, it's not pleasant. You know, so, you know, Librans, if you've got someone who's being really mean to you, you know, they're stronger than you at the moment. So step to the left, just step to the right, you know, let the bullets whiz past. Don't try and take them.
Yes. And really important for Libra to stand firm, you know, hold your position. Because Libra can go back and forth and change their mind. Oh, okay, you know, I'm thinking about Libras in relationships. There's, you know, I know some Libras that it's been a bit on-off, and it's really important to stand your ground during this and not let the other win or the other be persuasive. You be firm. You've got, you know, that Venus is in Taurus now. Stand firm, be rooted.
It's interesting because I would say duck.
Duck.
That would be my advice, yeah. To Libra. Duck. So don't take the bullet in the face, you know.
No, oh,
duck.
No. Okay. Oh, okay.
Do you see what I mean?
If a bullet's coming at you, then please duck, Libra. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if it's just someone being just sort of, well, stand your ground. That's what I mean. Stand your ground. Don't give in.
Yeah. Or the other Libra tactic is avoidance, which I think is quite a useful one in this case. Avoid. Right. So if you've got someone who's been, you know, really wants to get in your life, I was about to say pants, but
I think
can't
you
say
were.
That. I was about to say pants, you know, just avoid seeing them. Right. Don't feel that you have to deal with it head on. Don't, because you're not going to win head on.
And if you're an Aries, you're likely to win. So crack on. And
yeah, exactly. Aries, you're on a winning streak and, you know, enter competitions and, you know, do the marathon. And, you know, actually, I think kind of ditto with, I think Cancer, it might be pretty good for them to actually being on a winning streak.
Yeah. And, you know, it's their cardinal signs. The Cancers need somewhere to put that sort of leader dynamic potential.
Yeah,
and
this is
really helping you. So,
yeah. And I think Sagittarians also maybe take a bit of a gamble, go for it, do, you know, risk it.
Yep. Risk it for a biscuit.
Exactly. Sagittarius, who knew?
Yeah, it's the speculation luck sector for you, and also, you know, romance, entertainment, creativity, all of that. So good fun. It could be good fun.
Yeah, take it. I think that for never will we ever suggest that you take a gamble on this show. However, Sagittarius and Capricorn, you may be wanting to think about it this month.
Can we say have a flutter? I don't know. What can we say?
Well, yeah, but I think actually I'm all in favor of the calculated risk myself, which is the Capricorns as well. So the calculated risk, the playful risk, the you know, enjoying having something that's fun and exciting. And it, you know, what's fun and exciting is different for different people. For Sagittarians, it can often be some kind of entrepreneurial thing. It's like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll just launch my drinks business or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. So exciting astrology coming up.
Yeah, really exciting.
Is. I'm really looking forward to kind of meeting next month, Christina, and we look back on what's happened, because I think things are going to move fast and quickly this month. And let us know how you get on. It'd be great to hear what's the Jupiter Uranus been like for you. It'd be really good to hear about it.
Or being like, because I think that's the other thing that people need to really know, is this is not a kind of one-off, ooh, it just happened on that day. You know, this is a process of, you know,
expansion, change, growth, opportunity. Great. So lovely to connect with you, Christina. And I hope everyone's enjoyed listening in. And we will see you again next month. Take care. Bye.
Bye. See you next month.